From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this look at local and statewide news. Juneau's local governments are steering extra money to some child care providers. These providers are having an especially hard time finding and keeping workers in the pandemic labor market. Being short-staffed means they can't enroll as many kids as they have space for, and that often means running at a loss. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports that even with higher wages and bonuses that government grants help to make possible, the outlook is not good.
Little Eagles and Raven's Nest Child Care Center opened in February of 2020 and has continuously advertised for several openings. Pay starts at a little over $17 an hour, which is on the high end for this kind of work in Juneau. And unlike typical privately owned child care businesses, these entry-level jobs come with tribal government benefits.
We now offer professional development courses and classes that we pay for, as well as, you know, university credits that we would pay for. We have health insurance, life insurance, retirement.
That's Executive Director Jamie Shanley.
We're employees of Central Council Tlingit and Haida, so our benefits are wonderful. We have holiday pay, paid leave, family leave, and we still can't find people. So it's very grim.
Since October, she's even been able to advertise a temporary $4 per hour bonus. It's federal stimulus money going through the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. She says she could use 5 more employees, but hasn't gotten a single application for months.
There's nothing.
Other child care providers in Juneau don't enjoy the tribe's support and can't be as competitive. Discovery Preschool, for example, is offering a $500 hiring bonus, but for a job that starts at $13 an hour. Discovery Preschool and others do get financial assistance through a program the Juneau Assembly started last year, run by the Southeast Alaska Association for the Education of Young Children. Blue Scheibler is the nonprofit's executive director. She says before the city started paying stipends to qualified child care providers, the average starting wage for entry-level child care workers in town was about $11 an hour. Now it's about $13.
Which is still not great. I mean, it's not even competitive with McDonald's right now.
And there's usually no benefits.
Not even paid sick days. If you look at no paid sick days in the middle of a global pandemic, it's not a real attractive field to enter.
A normal business would probably raise the price of its services to cover its costs. But with childcare, it's easy to price out your customers. If childcare costs more than a parent can earn working, then why work?
Childcare as a business model is in market failure. It does not function in a business market.
Which is why the city stepped in and started giving childcare businesses grants last year. But the labor problem is tripping up that program too, because it's based on the number of children a provider serves. Scheibler says every provider participating in the city's grant program is under-enrolled, even though most have wait lists.
So they have families wanting to fill their empty spots, but they're not able to take any additional children because they can't find staff.
It's a circular problem.
I mean, most childcare centers, they have overhead that doesn't change much if they have fewer children. Their rent is still due. Their bills are still due.
Right now, the city's got hundreds of thousands of dollars left over in unspent childcare subsidies. On Monday, the Juneau Assembly had a brief discussion about what to do with the leftover money. Assemblymember Michelle Hale asked to send it along to participating childcare centers as if they were operating at capacity.
Everything we can do to help the childcare providers right now is just critical.
There were no objections. A lot more federal relief for childcare is on its way, though state administrators have been slow to release it. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
Tuesday was the last day of the Alaska Legislature's 4th special session. There wasn't a single meeting. Lawmakers remain far apart on the state's long-term budget and permanent fund dividend policies. One thing that could help? Oil prices remaining high. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
Ketchikan Independent Representative Dan Ortez has been looking at a proposal that would rewrite the formula for setting permanent fund dividends while also adding taxes. But with the recent price of oil raising state revenue, he says the case for taxes is harder to make.
It's always going to be a lift for legislators to come to consensus on added revenue or a tax, passing a tax. And with this new revenue forecast, I think it makes it that much more difficult.
The new revenue forecast is a preliminary report the state released on Friday. It forecasts higher oil prices will add more than $1 billion to the budget this year. And if those prices hold up, that $1 billion would come in every year. That could be enough money to pay for Governor Mike Dunleavy's PFD proposal without a new tax or substantial state budget cuts. The catch? We're talking about the price of oil. And as Ortez notes, it's never what you forecast it to be. He says he's not more likely to back Dunleavy's PFD proposal, considering the state's other needs and how important it is for him to protect the permanent fund.
To put a long-term fiscal plan on the basis of a recent projection on oil price increases holding, I just don't think that that's sound policy.
While the House Majority Caucus that Ortez is a part of has largely opposed Dunleavy's PFD proposals, most minority caucus Republicans support them. Nikiski Republican Representative Ben Carpenter says that while oil prices are unpredictable, the legislature has to begin somewhere in analyzing policy choices.
You know, it's been a number of years since we've had real high oil prices, and maybe people have forgotten what it's like to have those large revenue streams coming in from the oil companies.
Carpenter hopes that more revenue, even in the short term, can allow legislators to consider the long term.
When we don't have enough money to go around for the budget and difficult decisions have to be made, that raises the blood pressure of all the decision makers. It makes conversations more difficult and emotions get high.
State Deputy Revenue Commissioner Brian Fechter worked on the forecast. He says the state is more confident in the short-term forecast. Fechter says the state knows that oil prices can turn on a dime, but he says that even short-term price increases can bring long-term benefits.
A higher oil price means higher royalties, which means more money is getting deposited into the permanent fund, which benefits us in those future years.
Dunleavy also understands that oil prices are volatile.
I've been here long enough to experience it, since the 80s.
But he said a day before the forecast was released that some lawmakers skeptical of relying on high oil prices were already opposed to his proposals.
Nobody knows what tomorrow is going to bring. We didn't predict a pandemic. We can't predict earthquakes. We understand that. We do our best guess and our best estimates.
Fairbanks Republican Representative Bart Laban says those estimates can help. But at the end of the day, the legislature will have to weigh the state's needs each year, regardless of the price of oil.
Today, we're north of $80. A year from now, we could be under $50. I mean, I just don't know how to predict the future trends in the price of oil.
The first day of the next legislative session is January 18th. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
An Alaska Superior Court judge has issued a preliminary injunction halting part of a state law that restricts who can conduct abortions. Judge Josie Garten issued a ruling on Tuesday that allows non-physician health care providers, such as nurse practitioners and physician's assistants, to provide medication to induce abortion. And the case was brought by a branch of Planned Parenthood that serves the Northwest, Hawaii, Alaska, Indiana, and Kentucky. The organization filed a lawsuit in 2019 against a law that prohibits anyone other than a licensed physician from performing abortions. Alaska is one of many states that have laws saying that only certified doctors can perform abortions. Proponents say they help prevent unsafe abortions. Planned Parenthood argues the concern is outdated, especially now that the nurse practitioners and other non-physicians already prescribe the so-called abortion pill to help women following miscarriages. The injunction only applies to medication abortions, and the case will be decided at trial scheduled for July. And Tuesday was the last day of the fourth special session for the Alaska legislature this year. It ended quietly, with neither the Senate nor the House of Representatives meeting. There were also relatively few committee meetings over the 30-day session. In calling the fourth special session, Governor Mike Dunleavy asked for the legislature to fund another $1,200 permanent fund dividend payment. Legislatures funded a PFD of $1,114 in the third special session. Dunleavy also called for the legislature to enshrine the PFD in the state constitution and to lower the state's limit on spending. Legislative leaders have expressed concern about the effect of the second PFD payment on the permanent fund. They've said that the state should not draw more than planned from permanent fund earnings without agreement on a long-term budget plan.